Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble, the finest student-run fantasy football show in the country. My name is Zach Donnelly and we're only 1 week into the season so far and we're already in our own heads about how to use our free transfer this week, meaning the FPL is truly back underway. Our league is off to a very strong start and is boasting a roster of 38 FPL managers. If you want to get yourself involved and get us to 40 players, join our league with the code DPPRDJ. Tell your friends, tell your mum, tell your gran, get everyone you can in this league. Want to try and get 50 before the end of the season. That is the claim I'm making in episode 2. Currently on top is, and I really hope I get this name right, is Shadrach Avarkar. I've butchered that completely and I feel horrible for it. But he triple-captained Mo Salah on the way to earning himself 99 points to put himself at the top of the league in the first week. We'll move on and talk about today's co-host, the first of which being coming in the form of Stirling's finest left-back, and I say that with some jurisdiction. Struan Garvey, welcome back to the show. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm not doing too bad. Top of the... some leagues at the moment. You've
had a good weekend last week, didn't you?
I did. I have to admit, I owe it all to Reece James. I kind of brought him in the feeling that he was a bit cheap. He's probably going to get quite a bit of game time this season and a goal and an assist. And what a goal it was in his debut. So I've got a lot to be thankful on the first day of the season. Sorry, the guy making his debut let me down massively with Kai Havertz getting two.
It was
an okay game week, to be honest. I think Jamie Vardy really helped me as well quite a lot.
He did, he definitely. I'm apologising if you heard any screams from outside my window there. It was just the entirety of my street in Edinburgh not agreeing with you, your criticisms of Kai Havertz, and I was one of them. We'll get on to him in a little bit, I'm sure, just in one of the games we're talking about today. Next up, we've got a man who claimed James Rodriguez as his signing of the season, and after that week one showing, he could end up being right. Taylor Murray, how are you getting on, pal?
Great. I've got a big smile on my face because what a masterclass performance I feel like to put in. He just strolled it. Now it's not even him at throw fitness as well, so I feel like more to come.
You're just looking forward to seeing as much of him this season as possible.
Honestly, I've actually got out my way to Derby to watch Everton now. Just for that.
Said no one ever.
Yeah, I know. First time that's been said. That's it.
So we put in a disclaimer now that if you're speaking at any one point and you overextend yourself, you are watching Rangers play Lincoln Red Imps at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I can't watch it. It's going to be half time, so it's going to be 15 minutes of pure silence. But if you ever hear just me just like squeal or just make a random noise that's probably unknown to this world, yeah, you just need to.
I really don't know what kind of noises you make, Taylor. I'd really rather that gets left in the dark. Finally, we've got a debutant for the new season. He got himself involved in a revival of the show for the Bundesliga game, but this will be his first appearance of the new season. Cameron Wanstall, welcome. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, mate. I'm happy. I'm doing okay. I didn't have a bad game week one, so I feel like I'm justified to come on here.
Me and you are on the same points at the moment. Both got bang on 50. Bang on the average.
The average, exactly.
So we're not below average, unlike our good friend Sean, who is...
Less said about that, the better.
Absolutely. So you've nailed it. You've absolutely nailed it there. What's your view on this game? Like, who's your transfer? What's your transfer that you've got planned?
Well, we've spoken a little bit before. I'm still a little bit unsure. It's either going to be Mane or Son out for Bruno.
Bruno coming in for sure.
Yeah, Bruno definitely coming in. I don't know whether I get rid of him. I don't know. Son's got... Is it Southampton at home Tottenham have?
It is.
Away at Southampton,
you're right.
And I'll say Manny's up against Chelsea, who looked pretty okay in the first game week. So, yeah, I think it'll be likely to be Son coming out. I've got the spare money, so I think that'll be my transfer.
The one thing, if you get rid of... You might as well get rid of Manny now if he's already taken a price fall. If the price is already sitting with Salah, you might as well cut your losses early doors.
Yeah, a little bit extra money as well, absolutely.
Absolutely, can reshape your squad for trying to sneak in a wee Kevin De Bruyne on 2 weeks' time, you never
know.
As always, you'll be able to find our Game Week 2 predictions over on Twitter before the first game on Saturday, so be sure to follow us over there at Fantasy Ramble. Right, we're going to get cracking with the first of the three big games we're going to be discussing today. And what a game it could end up being. 4:30 on Sunday, we're seeing Chelsea take on Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. the last games for both teams. It was two wins for this set of opponents. Chelsea got through a bit of a battle in the late first half, early second half, to win 3-1 away at Brighton, while Liverpool put on a real show of it, a real entertaining show at Anfield in a 4-3 win, sorry, over Leeds. Taylor, I reckon this one, it's fairly self-explanatory in saying it is the biggest game of the weekend, and at this stage in the season, it's already going to be proven massive for top four. How much are you looking forward to this one?
I'm looking forward to it. I feel like this could be an ill indication of what way the season's going to be going. Whether it actually lives up to the hype, unsure, but I definitely feel that this has potential to be a big game.
Just off the back of that. I mean, you tip Chelsea as Premier League winners. So if they win this, how assured in that belief are you?
I feel like that takes an early step, but as we know, you never win anything. I can't even say August because it's not August, and you don't win anything in September. But I feel like that does take, it just strengthens my argument, the fact that Chelsea are going to probably finish top. I generally still believe that, even though they didn't put in a convincing performance, they still, that's them at their probably worst this season, winning 3-1. I'll definitely take that. But I feel like this, is Ziyech back for this one? I'm unsure, Jack. I don't think so.
I think we'll need to wait until we're uncommonly recording this on a Thursday, because we're all a bit busy on the Friday with uni stuff. So we're recording this a day early, so it'll come out on the Friday, and things could be all changed then, because I think it'll be tomorrow that Lampard's press conference is, and we'll find out the future of, or the availability of Ziyech, Chilwell and Silva, who are the latter of the two have been in training this week.
Yeah, that being said, I feel they've probably still got a really good side, considering you've got Vernon and Havertz playing. Although the FPL app says that Vernon has a dead leg and he's got to be playing, he's still fit. Led to believe he's still got to be playing. And I feel Liverpool are actually relying, although it looks like they're getting Thiago from Bayern Munich, it's looking like Liverpool are relying on the players that's been there, done that, which the saying is, if it's not broke, don't change it. But I feel like Chelsea's transfer window is going to prove the fact that they've probably got the stronger squad to this game.
Stronger squad is a massive suggestion, considering we'll take a look at their game with that point in mind. They came through a real challenge, as I mentioned, against Brighton. They really, after the penalty, they kind of seemed to fall off and let Brighton kind of attack them a lot more towards the end of the first half. In the second half, they went and got their goal through Trossard, a really good strike, but again, it was their goalkeeper that let them down. Reece James then took it upon himself, Struan, as I'm sure you'll be very happy with, to go and rescue their lead, and then Curtis Zouma put it to bed with his deflected strike. What did you make of Chelsea on the whole? I mean, you mentioned already in your introduction, Kai Havertz's debut, thoroughly underwhelming, you would say.
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed with Chelsea. I think it was always going to be one of these issues that you sign so many players, you know, you have to perform as the best team in the country. And I think with this fixture, I think it's come a bit too early in the season, because I think both of these teams have a lot more coming. As mentioned, Thiago to Liverpool, I would love him to be in this game. I think with Chelsea, you know, potentially Chilwell, Pulisic, Ziyech, I don't know what Thiago Silva's situation is, and Kepa is still going to be in goal. And I think it's one of those fixtures where if both of them have a fully fit side, you're talking about one of the best games you could have all season. So I think, in a sense, it's maybe come a bit early. But I think Chelsea will do better. I mean, it's never going to click straight away. So many different new players in. And Mason Mount and Havertz both playing as wingers. I think they'd much rather be deeper into the midfield. Yeah. But I did think Chelsea looked quite good at times. You can see how much of a bonus Timo Werner is going to be, you know, winning that penalty. You know, he's playing on the shoulder. He's ready to capitalise on any mistake, and as he did on the day. I wanted him to take the penalty, not just because he's in my fantasy team, but
just to get him started for the season, isn't it?
I think on a debut, and Jorginho, I know he was the captain on the day and he's the penalty taker, but from my point of view, I would always think you've got a young, hungry striker who's just won the penalty on his Premier League debut. He's probably going to score it. Just give him it. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I think, I don't know, I got a bit annoyed at Jorginho for that, but I'm maybe just being a bit just being a bit petty there. But yeah, I think Chelsea will get much better throughout the season. I don't think Havertz is going to play on the right wing. I think
that's kind of nailed down.
Obviously. Yeah, I think that's just sort of a waste. We've seen that quite a few times in the Premier League where you have to force players in and you just play them out of position, and it's just you can get so much better playing in a different position. So I think we will, throughout the season, as the team kind of comes back from injury, we'll see a much better Kai Havertz and a much better Chelsea, which was why I was saying I think the season, this game, should have come a bit later in the season, but I'm still looking forward to it. And I think Chelsea will be much better than they were against Brighton, but I think you have to give a bit of credit to Brighton as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Tariq Lamptey, of course, snatching a lot of headlines there for his performance.
I was actually thinking, it's almost funny that Rhys James must have heard people saying, why did Chelsea sell Lamptey and not Rhys James? He's performing much better. And I think Rhys James probably took that to heart and just thought, right, okay, I'm going to need to step up here. But I think both of them were probably... I mean, Tariq Lamptey, I think, was arguably the best player on the pitch at times.
I would back that, yeah.
I think he... It's almost one of them where he's a huge loss, but then is he really? It's sort of the same argument you could make with Salah and De Bruyne at Chelsea. Although he's a huge talent, the club don't really need him at the moment because of who they already have. So although they have to let him go, it's not really going to damage them as much as it could other clubs.
Team of players that Chelsea should have should have kept, and they haven't. It's turned out to be really well.
I think, well, the thing with Tariq Lamptey, his departure, was he's a year younger than Rhys James. And I think with the view that Rhys James is going to be Chelsea's long-term right-back for many years to come, and I don't think it would have been fair for a player of his ability to just stick around as a number two.
Yeah, so, I don't think he can have both of them competing at their age.
And it's nice to see, like, some Chelsea fans might hold some ill will towards him for leaving and not wanting to chant. I don't, because I could fully understand his situation, so it's just nice to see him playing well. I feel as though you mentioned Werner and the penalty. Obviously, came out that he had a dead leg, but it really didn't look like it. He was electric throughout the entire game and should have been played through if not for Loftus-Cheek trying to nutmeg Adam Webster. Instead, it was just slipping it through to him. And in about 5 seconds, he had to actually move the ball, but that's my own frustrations, I suppose, coming through again. We'll start talking about Chelsea and move over and speak to Cameron about his own Liverpool. Liverpool, they played... I don't know if I can say they played well. I mean, it's mental to think, considering they scored 4 goals, but a lot of that came through Leeds' own defensive errors. Then again, Liverpool's own defensive errors led to Leeds scoring at least 2 of their goals. Trent Alexander-Arnold get turned inside out by Jack Harrison, and then Patrick Bamford bounced on a failed Van Dijk clip around the shoulder. So, Cameron, what are we expecting from Liverpool this weekend? Are we expecting those defensive mistakes to be ironed out? Or are we expecting them to kind of go under the cosh against on paper, a better side than Chelsea?
Well, I certainly hope they'll be ironed out and they'll not come up again. But, yeah, I think it was just that kind of game, really. It was just 2 exciting teams really going toe-to-toe and, like, a proper good boxing match, really, just throwing punches and it turned out a 7-goal thriller. I think Liverpool really will have to step up defensively. I saw people saying, like, arrogant. I don't know if it's arrogant. It was probably just complacency at the back, like, positional-wise. And Van Dijk's, he doesn't do that often. So we should be shoring up a little bit against Chelsea. But if we keep the same attacking threat going on, then it should be the same again. If Chelsea score a goal or two, we should try and score 3 or 4. Might not get as lucky with 2 quite easy penalties to give away, because Chelsea's back line's a lot more experienced and just better than Leeds is. But I'm really hoping it'll just be an exciting game. Even as a Liverpool fan, you just want high scoring football, really, and hopefully that's what we get.
I think I can see this one. It's going to go one of 2 ways. It'll end up a 5-4 or a 1-0 or potentially a draw. It's interesting to say that about Van Dijk not doing it too often. Obviously, it's not a consistent part of his game. But since the start of the 2018-19 season, no outfield player has made more errors leading to goals in the league than Virgil van Dijk himself.
You know what I think that is? It's because he has a little bit too much responsibility at the back.
When other defenders
make mistakes, they have someone covering, they have a goalie right next to them. Van Dijk doesn't really have that. He's been told to basically sweep up that whole back line. A lot of the responsibility falls on him, so he doesn't have anyone else to clean up his mess.
I'll give you that.
Whereas everyone else does. Don't get me wrong, still, especially the mistake against Bamford, that's probably his worst mistake yet. But I think if a few games under belt, Gomez getting back as well, he'll just keep getting better, I feel, if he can stay away from injuries. So they should improve defensively this season.
just before we touch on our score predictions for this game coming up, just wanted to talk to you again about Thiago. Obviously, 20 million, I think, with 5 million in add-ons for the best performing midfielder in the Champions League last season. Just how good is it that you've been able to bring in a player of this calibre?
Oh, huge. Yeah, also, we mentioned this extra time. Like, I'll admit, someone I didn't know too much about more than even a year or two ago. Sort of under radar for me, but wow, what a player. Especially in the Champions League, final, I was all for praising him, deserved man of the match. Really just add something to Liverpool need, obviously. Maybe have too many midfielders, but I think with Fabinho locking down that centre defensive mid role, he'll lock down, I think, the left centre mid role. And then we might see Gini Wijnaldum leave, which would be a shame, mm-hmm. but you'd have Jordan Henderson there to fill in that space. You've got Oxlade-Chamberlain, you've got Naby Keita, who people are expecting to come through big this season. So really spoilt for choice, and like you say, to get him for 20 million plus 5 million add-ons. Is that
yeah,
what you
I think that, yeah. that's what we could report.
Even better than the £30 million fee that was meant to be a week or two ago. So, yeah, huge, huge signing. And one maybe we'll see a lot of in fantasy football.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think considering how direct he is in his play and just his ability in the middle of the park, I think he could rack up a fair few assists for those front three this season. We'll move on and we'll try talking about some score predictions for this game. Struan, I want to come to you for this one first. How do we see it going?
So I've gone for the controversy in the headlines with this one. I've gone 2-1 Chelsea with Timo Werner scoring both, coming back to haunt Klopp for not paying the money.
You're feeding the narrative with this one.
I think you know there could be something involved in that one. I mean, it could completely go the other way, and you could see Roberto Firmino score a hat trick, and in the third one he'll probably run up to Timo Werner or something. And I don't know. Yeah, 2-1 Chelsea with a Timo Werner man of the match scoring both goals.
So he'd be nailed on to being your team again this weekend.
Yeah, I have taken the captain's armband off of him though.
Very smart.
Last week, and well, I've put it on Aubameyang because West Ham. But true. That's a different story.
That is a very different story. Anyone else from Chelsea or Liverpool you'd be advising to bring in?
Mane and Salah, I think, are fantastic shots. I think Alexander Arnold will have something to prove this game after a pretty poor performance from his standards against Leeds United. So I think he'll be raring to go for this one. As for Chelsea, I think other than Timo Werner, I wouldn't risk putting another forward in at the moment because we just don't know who's actually going to be.
True.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we might know after the press conference, as you say, but I think Timo Werner's probably the only one nailed to start in his natural position. So I think I'd go for him. I would avoid Firmino all times at this season. I think he's a waste of money in fantasy. And I'd go Mane, Salah, either fullback, and once Thiago becomes available, he would be in every single team.
I think that's a very good shout. Cameron, how about yourself? Are you backing a 2-1 for Chelsea? Something tells me I disagree with that potentially.
You know what? I actually had 2-1 Liverpool, but I'm going to make that just because I want it to be exciting. This is just the romantic in me coming out. I'm going to say 3-2 Liverpool.
Oh, I really love that. I love a score like that.
I can just, with the way the opening games went for both teams, I think, yeah, why not? Why not? It'll be 5-goal thriller.
And who would you have in your team from both clubs here?
I think Struan saying Charles Alexander-Arnold, that's a great shout. I think he definitely has something to prove. I know that because he got 1 point from me last week.
And me.
And me.
And yeah, I think Chelsea, it's a tricky one because got so many attacking forwards, we don't know really about fitness. Maybe the team news will come out and shed more light on that, but I wouldn't risk putting a Chelsea attacker right now. If you're going to, probably Werner, if he's declared fit, that would be the safest bet in my opinion.
Very good shout. Taylor, how are you seeing this one go, pal?
I went for the reverse score of Cameron's. I went 3-2 Chelsea with Werner being the man of the match. Strip it to think that until Mendy, it looks like, comes in for Chelsea won't keep a clean sheet with Kepa and goals.
It's I'm just
any shot going towards that goal, I don't care if it gets hit and it's just literally rolling across the ground, he's missing it. He needs to get out there. 72 million, whoever sanctioned that needs to get sacked.
He's like the fifth best Spanish keeper in the league at that price.
I'm pretty sure there's actually under-11s that could probably do better than 11-a-sides than what he can do. So
if Caballero wasn't about 50, he'd probably be playing.
Yeah, that is the bad shout.
Yeah, he's guff.
Is Begovic still on Chelsea's books?
Unfortunately not. No, I think he's long gone. That was an odd signing, I remember. Oh, God. What about you, Taylor? Who would you take in your team from this fixture?
I feel like right now Werner's a safe bet, but when he comes back fit, I'm going to say Pulisic is probably your man.
Yeah.
When he does come back fit, he's got a romp. He already showed it. I think he will romp the league again, and just he's just so good. But I'm going to say Werner's going to be the difference and probably get a brace, I'm going to say.
I tell you, I've got hope for Pulisic this season. He's already, yeah, he was training last week before the Brighton game, but just wasn't fit enough to make the squad. I think with another week, he could probably be on the bench for this one, if not starting. And if he has the same kind of impact as he did in the last fixture against Liverpool off the bench, I can see it going very, very well for us.
I always think that assist he gets is such a shame because he does so well, but it made the score, what, like 4-2 or something at the time, so he can't celebrate. And he just looks angry almost when he's got it. And you just think, do you know when you see those goals that don't mean anything in games, but they're absolute screamers, and it's just like, oh.
Was that the cross to Tammy?
And he just gives him an easy tap. And
Then he got it back with his own goal to make it 4-3, which just left Klopp laughing. So, I mean, he did make a statement for himself in that game. As for me, I'm going to back Werner. I'm keeping Havertz in my team purely because I don't have a move out for him at the moment. I'll stick with Trent because I think it could be one of them that it's just he'll end up with a goal or something from a free kick, just standard. He'll just hit one from 40 and beat Kepa, who lies on the ground and lets him score. As for a score, I'll say 2-2. I'll say 2-2.
Announce 1-0 win.
Announce 0-0.
Announce game getting postponed. Yeah. We'll move on to the second biggest game of the week. I feel like I've spent far too much time talking about Chelsea. So we'll move across and we will go to 8:15 on Monday night as Wolves take on City. Last games for both teams, Wolves obviously won that game against Sheffield United 2-0 with those two early goals. And City haven't played yet this season. This will be their first game after their original fixture was postponed due to their Champions League ties. Let's start with the home team. Let's start with Wolves. Last game, early goals were the difference, as I said. Jimenez still looks as clinical as ever in the league, despite that one chance later in the game. Struan, is the Mexican striker a surefire option for your team?
I think... If you're backing any Wolves player, I think so, because I don't think any other necessarily winger is going to start. And by the looks of things, it could be another Adama Traore at wing-back, which isn't exactly ineffective. I think he still does quite well in that role, but I think unless he's playing in that front three, I don't think he's really going to be getting in with the goal involvements. And it's playing against Manchester City as well. It's just a bit... I know they did the double last season, but I'm not sure I'd have the same confidence in them this time around.
Interested to hear why.
My reason being is I like Wolves and I do really like the team, but I just feel it's very, they've not stagnated, but they've almost just sort of accepted that, you know, last season was good. They didn't get Europa League or any kind of European football, but I just feel, I don't know what the kind of desire is going to be for them this season. Mm-hmm. Just, I think they're probably going to be fully focused on the league, and I do think they will do well in the league. I think they will qualify for Europe again, but I don't quite know how well they're going to start this season, being near enough the exact same team. I think they were incredibly lucky last season that they didn't suffer injuries given how much they played. I think João Moutinho, I think he's 35 now maybe this season. He could even be turning 36, and I think they relied on him a lot. I think at some point he's going to suffer. I think Doherty and Johnny are two massive losses at fullback. I think Marcal did okay against Sheffield United, but again, I don't think he's going to have that same impact. And likewise, the wing-back, as good as I mentioned Adama Traore is, I don't think he has the same ability of Doherty to be as good defensively as offensively. And as I've kind of said, I think Man City will win the Premier League this season. I think they're going to come out of the gates running, you know, all guns blazing. I think they will have an incredibly strong start to the season because they need to, frankly. And I think they've improved very well and probably will continue to do well. But yeah. Back to the point, I think Jimenez is probably the only Wolves player who I would consider at the moment.
I think it's another one of those games you said with Chelsea and Liverpool, you would like to see it maybe later on in the season, especially maybe after a European week, because obviously Wolves don't have that to worry about with a City. The grace of their lawyers do.
I think they have a full-strength City team as well. I think Aguero might be back, and I think that's just the options and the depth that they have. I think it'll just be too much for Wolves. A fully fit City team is... Nah, no chance.
With that in mind, Cameron, City have yet to play, so we don't really have any idea of who's going to be starting, who's going to be playing, and how they're going to get on. Are we going to risk bringing City players in this week, or should we wait till their match next week against Leicester before we get any of their men in?
You know what, I think it will come on to a minute, I'm sure, but with Man United playing Palace at home, unless you're using like a wild card, if you've only got the one transfer, maybe two, and you're going to lose points, I would bring in United players before City players. I wouldn't bring in City players for Wolves away.
I would agree with that.
It's just too much of a risk, you know what I mean? Maybe, again, let's say, if you have a wild card, sure, go for it, but it just seems a bit of a risk. You also don't know exactly who's going to play.
Absolutely.
Like, they've got too many players to pick from, so it's a bit risky. If you're going to pick maybe, I don't know, if you really wanted, I don't know why you would, but if you wanted, like, Ederson, yeah, sure, he's going to play, so get him. But, no, I wouldn't be risking it anyway myself. I'd be going more for the United contingent.
I think I would completely agree with that, if I'm being honest. I think City players, it's not an easy game, Wolves. I mean, I think Stuart might have downplayed them a little bit. City typically found difficulty in these sort of fixtures last season. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, their squad is more or less the exact same as it was last season. They've added players like Ferran Torres and Nathan Ake, but at the core of it, it's the exact same team. So yeah. I think unless there's a bit of change in mentality with City, it could be a real struggle for them. Taylor, what do you reckon in this? Do you reckon Wolves will get the capacity to replicate what they did last year and get another double over City, or are you backing the boys in blue here?
I feel like it'll be... Wolves have the advantage here. They've played a game already. Man City haven't, so Man City haven't really got that much sharpness about them. You can play as many friendlies as you want, but it's just not got that competitive edge to it, so I feel like Man City might be a wee bit rusty. Although they do have quality players that should overcome that, but I can see Wolves pulling it off again. Definitely, last season they had the edge over it, especially playing Adama Traore wing-back, and then later on in the game moving him through the middle, and Man City couldn't cope with that. Probably it was down to the fact they had Fernandinho playing as centre-back and not actually a settled partnership, and Ake could probably end up to solve that, but I can see this being like 2-1 to Wolves, but a very entertaining game. I'm really excited to see what Ferran Torres will bring, because that's a transfer that came out of nowhere. And the more I look at what he's about, the more I think he could be suited to City's style. He just reminds me a little bit of like Raheem Sterling, but on the other side. So I'm looking forward to it. And yeah.
What was that there, Taylor?
Nothing.
Was that Rangers again?
No, it's all good.
Right, we'll move on before Taylor explodes here. We'll get some score predictions on the board. Struan, I'm taking it. I take it you're going for a City win in this one.
I have backed a City win. I've gone for a 3-1 and Raheem Sterling to be the one to watch. I think it'll be a. I don't know. I'm kind of doubting myself. Just listen to the points. I maybe didn't give Wolves enough credit. But I just, it's more thinking about Man City this season than Wolves more than anything. Just thinking, I think they'll come out of the gates really strong, and I think they'll have to, given, you know, how many people Chelsea have signed and improved. Arsenal had a really good start to the season. Liverpool are obviously the best squad in the league and have just bought Thiago, who in my opinion is the signing of the summer. So mm-hmm. I think if they do need, then they need to win the league, in my opinion, Man City, I think they'll have to come out of the gates blazing, and I think that's what they'll do. As I said, fully fit squad. I think a 3-1 probably, but it might not be as comfortable as the scoreline would suggest.
And anyone from either of the teams in your squad this weekend?
I do not have anyone in this, mostly because I ignored Man City in the first week, and I'm a bit reluctant to bring in De Bruyne straight away given the price. And we'll say it a lot throughout the season, just don't pick Man City players other than De Bruyne, as Pep Guardiola just drops whoever he feels like. I mean, he dropped De Bruyne towards the end of last season when he was going to break the assist record.
Criminal.
It is, it really is. I think Ederson is probably the only player who is a certain start when fit. As for Wolves, I think Rui Patricio is a good shout throughout the season in goals, or as you mentioned him in his earlier on, maybe Adama Traore, but other than that, I wouldn't pick any Wolves player given the other options available.
Cameron, how about yourself? How do we see this one panning out?
Yeah, I've got a 2-1 City win. I think the one to watch, I think he might play, it'll be Ferran Torres, the new signing. Mm-hmm. I know it's a risk chucking him in on his debut, but I just feel like that could catch Wolves off guard, probably. And they're saying Silva might not be fit, Aguero's a maybe. I think Mahrez as well is also a doubt, so it's a good chance that he could start. I'm not saying he's a definite pick for fantasy football, but for this game alone, I think he'll impress. And I think I think Jimenez for Wolves as well will really impress. I think if anyone's got him in their team after his goal on the opening day, he's a definite player to keep. So
aye,
there you go.
Taylor, how about yourself?
Jimenez is 100%, and I just, the man doesn't like easy chances, as we've seen in that last game. The harder chance, oh, all day long he'll take that tap, and nah, he doesn't do them.
Chris Doig-esque.
But Jimenez, I'd probably say that's your bet. Maybe if Traore's playing as a wing back, I can see him playing as a wing back and then moving up later on in the game. But definitely, I would say this week you actually avoid City players. Controversial, probably, considering De Bruyne's just probably winning as the actual best midfielder in the world.
Yeah.
And I'd go as far as say the world, but I thought
you were pulling it back a bit. Jeez, oh.
No, I would argue that if anyone could actually prove to me someone that's that can produce his numbers, I would argue the case. But I can see Kevin De Bruyne probably have an involvement if City want to have anything. So, but I'd avoid them probably this week just to see exactly what Guardiola's feeling, if he's actually favouring towards fantasy players or not.
We know he never does, but give us a score prediction anyway.
I'm going to go 2-1 Wolves.
2-1 Wolves. I think I might echo Cameron here. I might go a wee 2-1 City. I just do think they'll probably have a bit. They'll just have enough for Wolves, to be honest. I know that they struggled in these fixtures, but I could see them really just wanting to get ahead of the curve, especially if they see City potentially slipping up and dropping points against Chelsea on Sunday night. I think Pep will try and drill it into his players that we need to push City, or Liverpool rather, all the way this season. So I think they'll come out hungry, and I think Wolves will make a good showing of it, but I think City just squad in general is probably going to be too much for them. As for a key player, I think Phil Foden is probably a really good shout. I know him and De Bruyne as a pairing would be excellent to see, just the amount of creativity in that midfield. I think especially if the likes of Silva and Mahrez are potentially out a sideline this game, I think Foden's almost nailed on starting then. So it'll be interesting to see what he actually does and whether he will play.
You're brave predicting.
I know I'm very brave predicting this, especially considering what Pep's like, but I think it's really, if Foden doesn't get the game time this season, I think he could be off next summer, going somewhere else.
Yeah, I think he's kind of proved that even getting the England call up now, you know, I'm good enough to start in the Premier League or for other teams, you know, if I don't get the opportunity now. Like Jadon Sancho, Brahim Diaz, and now Eric Garcia all have for Man City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're probably, if you don't play me, you will just buy another player to take my position, so I might as well take the leave.
Yeah, absolutely. Like to see Pep give some faith, put some faith in Foden, because we all know his quality and we really saw it in the Project Restart games. We'll move on to the last of the big three games we're going to talk about. Some would call it a relegation scrap, but I don't see it that way. 3 o'clock on Saturday sees Leeds take on Fulham at Elland Road. Last games for both, it was defeats for both the newly promoted teams. Leeds made a really good job of it despite being defeated against Liverpool at Anfield, whereas Fulham lost to their London rivals Arsenal in a 3-0 defeat at Craven Cottage. Start with Leeds, of course, start with the home team. They looked very, very good against Liverpool despite the result. But a bit careless at the back, Cameron. What did you make of Leeds against your boys?
Yeah, but that's to be expected. You know, it is Liverpool, and even, it was two fairly sloppy penalties, one of which it was a striker they gave away, probably just nervous on his debut, Rodrigo. I think they'll be a little bit better defensively than that, better than, you can't take it away just from one game. But I think they're really good. I think I can see them pushing. I'm not saying they're going to finish top 10, but I can see them pushing towards that end of the table. I think they'll be well safe from relegation by about January, February, whatever. Whereas Fulham, not so sure. But I definitely see Leeds running out winners in this one.
And one thing I wanted to bring up with you as well, just on the Liverpool side of things, for that first goal, why in the hell did no one close down Calvin Phillips? That much room. There was honestly about a 10-yard gap between him and any other player in his circumference, so he had so much time and space to pick out that pass.
That was a Jack Harrison goal, right?
That was the first equaliser.
I think it's probably forgotten about because of how good that goal actually was, but yeah. You're totally right. It was the one time Liverpool don't press and look what happens, you know. It's really got to be on it 100%.
I think both players could have an excellent season this year. I really like Jack Harrison. I thought when I was putting my fantasy team together, he was an outside pick for me, but I didn't go with him in the end, and I'm quite gutted that I didn't.
Was he not a Man City youth as well? We're talking about
I think he's still at the club.
Right, well, again, he was talked about a good few years ago. It's maybe like 21 or something now.
I think, yeah, 21.
Yeah, still a huge potential. Really. You saw that goal. Mm-hmm. That was against the best defenders in the league, and he just done them like that. It was that simple. So, Calvin Phillips as well, brilliant player. So, hopefully we'll see a lot of Leeds in the future, because it'd be a real shame if they went back down at any point.
Absolutely. I think Harrison's one of these players spawned of the City Group Corporation. I think he started at New York City, got drafted over to Manchester City, and has gone out on loan to Leeds now. So, really interested to see how he does in the step up and playing in his parent club's division now. We'll look at Fulham. I mean, Struan, they've made some decent signings just in the run up to their game against Arsenal and in their League Cup escapades midweek. We saw a much improved starting 11 with the return of Alexander Mitrovic, who a lot of people were annoyed didn't start against Arsenal, myself included. Could you as well? Could we see a different look Fulham this weekend and perhaps pose Leeds with a bit of a challenge?
I think they'll need to. I think I watched the entire game against Arsenal, and I think Arsenal were very good, to be fair to them as well. But I just got Norwich City feelings from Fulham. You know, they could control the game. They looked really good going forward, but defensively they were absolutely shocking. Gabriel was just about unmarked for the header, and poor clearances that led to Lacazette's goal in the first half as well. I think they'll need to just improve. Basically, I think Kenny Tete is a good signing. I love the signing of Alphonse Areola. I don't understand how Fulham were able to get, no offence to Fulham, but I mean, this is a goalkeeper who's been playing at PSG and Real Madrid. He's got a World Cup winner's medal, Champions League semi-finals, finals, not won them, but, you know, league titles all over the place. And it's interesting, it's around the same season that, you know, Chelsea are desperate to sign a goalkeeper, and there are other teams in the league, and it's Fulham who have managed to get him on loan. They did something quite similar to Michael Seri a few years ago as well. I don't know what they do, but they managed to convince them. But I just don't think, unless they'd improve their defence, I don't think any other signings really going to matter for them. Just because, as I said, they looked so good going forward, but every single time Arsenal came at them, they just looked like they couldn't handle it. And I know it's only been one game, but I get quite a strong feeling that they actually may be the ones to go down now as well. Yeah. I think I would tip them for relegation.
They were always in my bottom three kind of coming into this season. I mean, they also signed former Chelsea man Ola Aina on loan from Torino at fullback, Kenny Tete at fullback as well, and Areola obviously going to be starting in goals. So they've got the makings of a new defence, but they're kind of sticking with their two centre halves. Taylor, we've seen Fulham come up in the past and spend a lot of money to try and secure their Premier League future. It's backfired immensely. Is it going to be the same old story this year?
They had to go for something new. They couldn't do it. Last time they were up 100 million, they still went down and by a big margin still. So they've took a different approach. Whether it works, I don't know. But I'm not convinced by them yet. And maybe I'm being naive, but I really don't see anything about them. As I say, I echo what Struan says. I do get Norwich City vibes for them. Mm-hmm. Where they look like they're sticking to their principles and possibly stick to what got them up, but it's just not going to be enough. They could probably end up adapting, maybe stay out by a scuff of their neck. I've tipped them to avoid it just in 17th. I feel like West Ham probably go down in their place, but you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Probably I'm wrong, but I could definitely see Fulham going down.
I do agree with you. Just wanted to bring Leeds United back into it. Just they've recently announced yet another summer signing for them. Just one of the best names I've seen in a while. You ready for this? Crescencio Somerville. What a name that is!
I love that. I didn't expect the Somerville bit to come out at the end.
That's an FM regen name, that.
Oh, it really is. Absolutely.
No sense at all.
Winger Crescencio Somerville, Dutchman joined from Eredivisie outfit Feyenoord.
Dutch. Not nationality, I thought.
No, I know it's Somerville, not the most Dutch surname we've ever heard. But I was so tempted to bring him in just for his name alone. I think brilliant, our man Crescencio. How do we see this one going, boys? Struan, Are we back in Leeds in this one as well?
I am back in Leeds. I'm back in a 3-0 Leeds victory.
3-0.
I think.
Love that.
It feels like Leeds won. I don't know why, but I know they lost. It just feels like they won. Does anybody else kind of get that feeling after that Leeds game? That I think
everyone's positive. Everyone's buzzing on Leeds. That's what it is.
scoring 3 goals against Liverpool is an incredible achievement. You know, you could count the amount of teams that did that last season on one hand.
We did it. Sorry, just had to get that in there.
As did man, Aston Villa put 5 past, but as did Arsenal actually. There's probably going to be quite a few who have said that now. But I just thinking, you know, in your debut, it could be easy to just park the bus against Liverpool in the first game in the league and just say, right, just let them have it, whatever. But they came out, they looked good. Fair enough, they only really had about 3 chances. But it was just a desire. And Bielsa looked furious every time they conceded. And it's like, you know, the ambitions this season are great. And as I mentioned previously, I think Fulham are absolutely dreadful defensively. So I think Rodrigo will need to atone for his horror tackle. It's quite funny. Him and Robin Koch, who were both making their debuts, were dreadful. You know, you think about having a bad debut, 2 of them had it in the one game. It's quite unfortunate in that sense. But I'm going for a 3-0 Leeds victory, and I'm going for Jack Harrison as man of the match, as we previously spoke about.
Before we move on to Cameron's score prediction here, took Martin Tyler and Jamie Carragher all of 15 minutes to get the first joke in about Robin. All of 15
love
minutes.
That. Rate that.
Wait until Alphonse Areola makes his debut.
the Leeds going to pan. Leeds going to pan. Cameron, how do we see this one going?
Honestly, echoes everything that Struan just said. I've even got Jack Harrison as the man to watch, but I'm going for a 2-0 Leeds one. A tiny bit more reserved. Tiny bit.
Taylor's buzzing with that one
there,
Jesus.
Yeah, great shout, Cameron. Actually, I really back that fully,
100%. Yeah, brilliant, man. I love your support. It means everything to me. Everything, Taylor. That is true. This show, though, everything Struan said, I've went, he's just said exactly what I'm thinking. So,
great minds.
Echoing it again here. Yeah.
There we go. Plain and simple. 2-0 Leeds, Jack Harrison. Taylor, how are you feeling?
Fun enough, I'm actually echoing exactly 2-0 Leeds. I can definitely see that happening. And it's going to be a convincing. It's going to be 2-0 probably going on about 8. But Fulham, they're just not getting anything better, as I said. But Leeds are just unreal. Especially, even though they got put out the cup during the week, I don't think that matters to them. They will stay in the Premier League. It's probably going to happen. Although, I'm still sticking to my point. I don't think what made them do so well in the Championship will work, but I feel like maybe Bielsa, after watching that game, Bielsa will change it, because I don't think he'll play the same way he did against Liverpool. Since they're at home, they're probably going to play different, and Rodrigo I can see be the difference. I'm putting him down to make his mark in the Premier League.
I like that. No, I like the faith. Jamie will back that faith in Rodrigo, absolutely. I'm going to go 3-1, 3-1 Leeds. I think if Fulham do play their strengthened 11 like they did midweek, and we see Mitrovic back, I think he probably could end up with a goal. I think Fulham might be a bit more put together, but I still do think Leeds just have enough quality going forward to be able to tear that Fulham defence open. Jack Harrison, Rodrigo going to be the main difference makers. I think Calvin Phillips could be quite heavily involved. I feel like we always talk about the same Leeds players could be yet to come to grips with everyone else in the squad.
Yeah.
If my mate Crescencio gets in the squad, then he's going to score a hat trick. There we go. I'm looking forward to watching Leeds again this weekend, or potentially not, because I think that's one of the two games on BT.
Yeah, but it's on BT.
We've talked about already.
We've talked about a potential swap deal going on for TV nights between me and Cameron.
Premier League bringing everybody together.
It really does. We love the football being back.
Absolutely.
Well, that brings an end to the three bigger games we're going to talk about on today's show. We'll move on. We'll have a quick bit from each of the boys on the three smaller games that I've pulled together. First of which being a battle of the teams with bird mascots. We've got Newcastle taking on Brighton. Thank you.
Brilliant segue.
I was thinking that was Crystal Palace United at first. Yes. And I was what? It's not quite the Seagull Eagle Derby, though.
The Magpies versus the Seagulls up at St James's Park. For me, this could really go either way. Brighton looked good. They looked very good against Chelsea at points. Lamptey was excellent. I thought Trossard was good. I thought a lot of their interplay was really good going forward. But Newcastle's new signings have really settled into the mould. And Ryan, all three of them, bar Jamal Lewis, have scored in the last week. Because Ryan Fraser, of course, scored midweek in the Carabao Cup fixture. How do we see it going? Because I'm a bit torn with this one, to be honest.
Well, I think outside of the tops, your traditional top six, and maybe with the exception of your Leicesters and Wolves and Everton, I think that's the best attack in the Premier League against the best defence. I think the Brighton back three that we saw against Chelsea, with Lamptey and Solly-March as fullbacks, I thought it's just such a good defence looking at it. And I think the Newcastle front three of Saint-Maximin, Wilson, Ryan Fraser, with either Hendricks or Almiron playing in behind, with Andy Carroll as an option as well.
Of course.
I think that's one of the best attacks outside of, as I mentioned, the top six. So I think this will be a really interesting game. I've gone for the Mr. McIntosh 1-1.
Patented McIntosh 1-1.
Oh, yes. I just think it'll be a really good game. I think it's one of those ones where quite often, as a neutral, you tend to tune into games. But I think this one will just be a really interesting game to watch. I think a lot of people will start to get a bit of admiration for Newcastle this season. I think they'll be a really exciting team under Steve Bruce. And I think Brighton as well are a bit of an outside shout to do quite well, maybe get a top half finish. There's some good talents in there. I think, as you say as well, they did play quite well against Chelsea at times. So I think this will be a good game. I think 1-1, and it'll be not end to end, but I think it'll be a very entertaining watch for the neutral.
I love how you went outside the top six, and then Everton, Wolves, and Leicester. It's the best attack versus the best defence. So it's the 10th best attack in the league versus the 10th best defence in the league.
I wasn't going to say those three teams, but then I thought, if I don't at least give them mention, the first thing somebody's going to say to me, oh, so you think that's better than Jamie Vardy and Harvey Barnes? And then the Everton front three is actually quite decent. But I do think that the Newcastle front three is fantastic.
Yeah,
I think it's so entertaining. And I think the Brighton defence, I would definitely say outside of the top six, does look like one of the best in the league, especially when it's that back three and with Lamptey and March as fullbacks.
No, I'm excited to see. I've got a mate who's a Newcastle fan, and he's been a miserable Newcastle fan for a number of years now. This is the happiest I've ever seen him coming into a season, and I can fully understand why. Next game we're going to talk about here briefly. Taylor, I'm going to bring it to you here because it's your boys again. Arsenal, West Ham, London Derby. It's another big opportunity for Aubameyang owners. He's just re-signed for 3 years, and I'd probably advise making him captain again this week, because West Ham, in a word, were guff against Newcastle.
That should have been polite. I've got 72 other adjectives I could use.
Don't use
tell
them.
Us what you really think.
No, don't, because we're going to get shut down if we let him go off the book.
Honestly, I'm just going to put it down. I hope Arsenal scud West Ham like 9-0. I'm begging it to happen. Moyes cannot be there. I'm not having... See, Boris, I'm not even going to go into the board situation, but Moyes, you've got no ambition with Moyes as your manager. I'm sorry.
Can I just say one thing about David Moyes as a manager, that somebody that's been reported, it's common, there's like old knowledge, but it's just come out again today that Sir Alex Ferguson had left David Moyes to sign Thiago from Barcelona as his parting gift. And it was all set up to happen, but then David Moyes decided he didn't want him because he didn't know enough about the player and signed Marouane Fellaini instead. Say what you will about Man United's ownership, but that is one of the worst decisions the club has ever made.
That in a sentence just shows you what I'm...
I'm probably going to sell Declan Rice, honestly, and replace him with somebody from League One.
So, Taylor, you wouldn't want me to bring up the names Gold, Sullivan and Brady at all?
No, that's like... You bring name up and it feels like I just want to just chuck my glass at the wall. That kind of just... In fact, the less said about them, the better. When I go into Arsenal, Aubameyang, please, for the love of God, just score like a double hat-trick. I'm begging it.
I'll make that plea as well. If I'm going to make him captain this weekend, please do that.
You know, like a double hat-trick with three assists, I'll take that. Please
take that,
and I'll celebrate
as a
everyone
fan of
with
the
so
club
much passion.
Playing.
Yeah, when the passion behind his goals will be unreal.
Oh my god! What you say, Stuart?
Is Jack Wilshere still at West Ham?
Sadly.
Right, say what you will about Jack Wilshere in recent seasons. How on earth is Moyes not starting him ahead of Mark Noble?
I didn't even consider that.
I know Noble's maybe the captain. Declan Rice can have the captaincy. Declan Rice is he's probably the best player at the club. He's maybe not the best player at the club, but my point is, like, injuries aside, how is Jack Wilshere not getting a game for that?
It just always takes me back to that one tweet from the United account about when David Moyes was in charge. It was like a post-match press conference, and he was like, "There are a few areas we need to cover in training, such as scoring, passing, and defending." If that doesn't tell you enough about David Moyes, I don't know what will. So you're going.
Man United finished first and then seventh after he took over.
Yep.
Ambition. That's what that is.
So you're back in an Arsenal win, believe it or not, Taylor.
In all seriousness, yes, and I think this could be like 5-0.
I think it could be a big result. There's a Premier League matchup going on just now. It's in the Carabao Cup. Sheffield United have been the ones to score early against Burnley. It's just come through there, so maybe a precursor for the weekend. We don't know.
Tottenham are still 0-0 with probably the best team out in their game.
Bloody Tottenham. Who are they playing?
Lokomotiv Plovdiv.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot. Forgot they'd be playing in Europe just now.
For anyone unaware who that team is, they're from North London.
Hey, we like that.
I respect that.
They're about to sign Gareth Bale.
The final team that I want to talk about, I want to talk about before we move on to our fantasy team of the week, is United versus Palace. Cameron, you mentioned it briefly. So you'd be more confident in bringing in United players for this one than you would City players for their game against Wolves.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's hard to judge, like we said, it's hard to judge who will be playing, who's fit, who's really up to match sharpness. But I think Palace, they beat Southampton 1-0, but it wasn't a great performance for Southampton. Certainly not what anyone expected. They were quite hotly anticipated heading into the season and a bit of a letdown in game day one. So I just think Man United will be ready for it, though. I don't know about any injury concerns. I don't think they've got anything major going on. So it's only Pogba might be missing. But I think they've got plenty about them to beat this Palace team. I went for a 3-0 United win, in fact.
I like that one. Bruno Fernandes, best option to bring in?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going for him as like the man to watch as well. But yeah, definitely, that's who I'll be bringing in. And I think it's just a safe bet. The money's, how much is it? 10.5?
10.5.
That's, like, considering some other players that he does match on points since joining January are about 12 million. I've already seen Mane's decreased already. So yeah, I think Bruno's the man to watch, and it'll be a routine win for United there.
Struan would probably argue that because he's the most pessimistic United fan going, and that is saying something.
Because you'll come to learn on the... I've actually predicted a United win. I'm going into this season with some confidence.
I'm proud of you, mate.
Which, given the transfer window, would seem quite odd.
I'm proud of you. That's a big step. Big step in the right direction for you, boss. Proud. We'll move on and finish up with our fantasy team of the week. This is where we discuss players from our fixtures we've discussed, fixtures we've left out, in order to build the team that we see fit to get the most amount of points possible this weekend. Starting, as always, in goalkeeper. Boys, who are we going for this one?
Schmeichel. That's who I'm going to go with.
I've got him in.
I've also got him.
I think that's fair, yeah, definitely.
Playing at home to Burnley in a BBC Sport game, that's it.
It's a nil-nil.
Proper Burnley situation, that. Universal telly and all that. I can see Leicester getting a good result in that one. I'd probably suggest Vardy to come in, but he's 10 million and it's a big ask for a striker, especially considering if you've got the money left over and Werner you're not sure on, Vardy might be the best alternative this week. But we're talking about a goalkeeper here, Jack. That's where to pick on. Pickford as well, Everton at home to West Brom. You never do trust Pickford in the long run, do you?
Made a cracking save, to be fair, against Tottenham and Doherty.
He did, yeah. Oh, that was good.
To be fair, the two goals Ramsdale let in against Wolves, I think he might have taken the mantle off him now. Seems like he got a lot of ridicule on Twitter in that last week, so maybe Pickford's time's up. He's actually going to be a good keeper again, and Ramsdale's going to take that spot.
We'll need to wait and see what happens with Ramsdale this season. So, Schmeichel, probably nailed on choice for goalkeeper this week. Potentially you put in one of the Leeds boys, depending on which players fill and play. Leno, if you've got him in, keep him in because West Ham aren't going to score past Arsenal in that new look defence. depending on how Newcastle Brighton goes, either of the keepers really, maybe probably Matt Ryan the better shout considering how shored up Brighton's defence looked. Yeah, so a few options for you, and none of them are going to cost you a lot of money. Schmeichel probably the most expensive at $5.5 million there. Moving on into defence, it's almost the kind of same story when you talk about defenders and goalkeepers. You look for clean sheets, but then again, you're also looking for goals. So who are we backing this week?
Got to keep Reece James in, don't I? After that performance, I think we all mentioned Alexander Arnold as well earlier on, having a good performance as well. I think he's probably one of the ones to go for. But maybe, as you mentioned, Leeds fullbacks, maybe Luke Ayling could come in. Stuart Dallas, not too bad shouts.
Mm-hmm. I like Luke Ayling. I think he played well. One thing I realised, that entire Leeds team is just top knots and chill. That's all Leeds are just now. Cameron, how about yourself? Who do you see performing well at the back this week?
I think Everton at home to West Brom, and Lucas Digne he had a good starting week, didn't he?
Very good. Got the assist.
And he's only 6 mil, maybe 6.5. I think if you've got him in your team, definitely keep him. If not, if you've got an extra million lying about, you've maybe got a 5 mil, 4.5 mil defender to start off, and you have the money to improve, then I think that's sort of a great choice. I know he's loved by Everton fans, so he must do it week in, week out. And that'll be my pick for the defence.
Loved by Everton fans, but has a "You'll Never Walk Alone" tattoo. You never thought you would see it happen.
Jamie Carragher.
That's the excuse. Boyhood blue. You're right. Taylor, how about yourself? Who have you got your back? In your back.
Actually, I used my free transfer to bring in Gabriel after your big shout, Jack.
That's bold.
Yeah. I wanted him in because he's an aerial presence, and I can definitely see him and Tierney. I've got him both of them in. Because they will definitely 100% keep a clean sheet. If not, well, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll do something. But
I hope West Ham win now just for that.
Yeah. But yeah, Tierney will get an assist, and hopefully Gabriel gets his noodle on something. So yeah.
Noodle. he's tied second for most amount of points in the game week. So it was him and Roman Saiz, both defenders, who are just behind Mo Salah on 20 points. So. He could be a shout. I did claim him that I thought he was going to have a really good season. He was my on-air key man, but then I went with Aubameyang, I think, on paper. So
I'm still blaming you for giving me that hope.
All right, Taylor, that's fine. Just know it's your decision. That was your decision to click the buttons and put them in. And no matter what way I influenced you, you make your own decisions in this.
I'm very easily inspired. So it's your fault. Right, don't inspire me.
That's fine. I'll not inspire you, Taylor. Is that what you want me to do? That's fine. I'll just be dour for the rest of my life. Don't worry, Taylor.
Thank you.
Move up the pitch. We'll look at midfielders who are going to be the top performing boys in the middle of the park this week. I'm back in Bruno, definitely. I could see Saint-Maximin potentially having a really good time with it against the fullbacks. Although depending on what side he's on. If he gets put on the left, I think Lamptey could really match him for speed and probably strength as well. Up against Solly March, I don't know. That's a bit more of an untested waters. I felt like a lot of the focus was shifted to Lamptey against Chelsea, and Solly March just kind of flew quite anonymous almost. That's the word. What about everyone else? Who are we all backing in the midfield this week?
Got to be Aubameyang, I think, as we've all mentioned. Yeah. I think just about everybody will probably have him. I've got Ward-Prowse. I've also got Havertz, but I'll just make a point for Ward-Prowse. I've got three Southampton players because I've got a bit of confidence in them, and because Tottenham still haven't, they won't have Reguilon or Bale available. There's a bit of a rhyme there for this game. Bale won't be able to make his awaited return to Southampton, but Pierre-Emerick Højbjerg will be, as with Kyle Walker-Peters the other way. So I just think Ward-Prowse is just a bit of a hidden gem in the sense that if Southampton get a free kick in decent range, he's scoring it.
I'm convinced he's been a hidden gem since FIFA 14, honestly. He's been a hidden gem. No one's found him.
I'm quite surprised he doesn't get a call for the England team in midfield. I think he did make the most recent squad.
He made the most recent squad, yeah.
I'm quite surprised he doesn't, because I think in terms of like a number 8, I think he's probably one of the best they have. And from a dead ball, I think he's one of the best available.
I do think,
as I mentioned, I'll talk about Mohamed Salisu every opportunity I can get. And with Vestergaard, I think there's a real aerial threat there. So if there is a free kick or a corner as well that's getting whipped in, I think there's Ward-Prowse is a good bet for an assist there as well. And because he's now, I think he's full-on club captain, so I think he'll probably play just about every single game he can do.
I thought you were talking about them in terms of midfielders for a second. Oh, no. I thought you were on a delay. Started talking about the defenders a minute too late. Cameron, what about yourself? Who are you backing in the midfield this weekend?
I'm echoing you a little bit now because I was thinking Bruno and sort of Newcastle players. I was thinking maybe Almiron, but he isn't the most consistent, not by a long shot.
He didn't start last weekend as well, did he?
Yeah, I think he got 4 points off the bench, but that's good though. That's what I'm seeing now. Not deadly. But I still think in future maybe he's a high risk, high reward sort of thing. But I'll go with Hendrick, Jeff Hendrick, because he had an amazing game week one.
He did.
And I think Lightning will strike twice against Brighton, so hopefully he has a good game. So Bruno and Hendrick, that's my shout, man.
To be fair, Almiron played 5 minutes and got 4 points.
Yeah, he's a great player.
So I mean,
I follow Atlanta on the MLS. I think he's a great player.
He's definitely
MLS De Bruyne.
MLS De Bruyne. That's who he was. I like that. So if he starts, but I don't know whether he will, considering.
Which either of those two, Hendrick or Almiron, that starts? If both, amazing.
Yeah, if both were singing.
And obviously, I've got St. Maximin on my team and not either of those two. But that's just the way it
goes. that's just the way you build your team. You always talk about so many better options. You look at your own team and think, should have Havertz instead of X, Y, or Z. Taylor, how about you?
Havertz. I'm backing him.
Backing him this week as well.
Backing him against Liverpool.
Love it.
He's got to do it.
Go on.
And obviously, your main man, James, he's a Rolls Royce player. He's going to score against West Brom. And obviously, you've got Alba in there when he gets his double hat trick and 3 assists. So that's exactly what's going to happen.
I believe that one's known as the trifecta.
That was passionate from Taylor there. We've not had that in a while. We've not had that since Timo Werner back in the Bundesliga ramble days.
I've got him in my team as well.
And you're now back in Chelsea.
After all that time.
Oh, well, he's got to do it in the blue. He loves the blue.
He loves the blue. As do you, apparently. Because you've been spending this entire time watching the Rangers game. Finally, we'll move on to the attack. Who are we backing to get a couple of goals this weekend from our strikers? Struan Garvey.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Again?
Yeah. I think this is...
I don't know if that was your Rangers, he was clapping.
for Cameron to know, last year in Christmas we were talking and I made the claim that Calvert-Lewin is the worst first-choice striker in the Premier League.
You did!
And since then, he has been pretty phenomenal, and I genuinely don't understand how that has happened. Funny. And I originally had Jamie Vardy in along with Callum Wilson and Werner last week, but I'm not sure he's going to score against Burnley because it's Burnley. Calvert-Lewin is on a good way. They've got West Brom. Yeah, so Calvert-Lewin. I don't mean for him to play badly.
Go with you because I almost put him in my fantasy team and took him out at the last moment to save a million and put in Mitrovic, and I'm now gutted.
Oh, I know.
I really want him.
I did something similar.
Also, painfully agree with you. I'll back him as well this week.
Wow, it's West Brom. Goodness me, West Brom as well. So every chance. Taylor, how about you?
My main man, Werner. Definitely, he's got to be doing it. I've never said a single bad word about him. He's a great striker. He's always on the top of his game at all times. He doesn't fluff chances. It's happening. Also, I have backed Rodrigo and Jimenez to both get on the score sheet, and I can definitely see that being a dangerous front three. But if there is a player you want in, it's got to be Werner.
I'm going to back Vardy this week, home to Burnley. I think he'll do a good job. Whoever United play up front, to be honest, Bruno will probably slap a ball through to them, whether it's Rashford or Martial.
I think Rashford might be down as a midfielder, the same as Greenwood.
Is he?
Yeah, I think it's one of those like cheats, basically, because it's a 4-2-3-1. They're effectively technically midfielders, but I think Martial is probably the only forward at Manchester United that's worth... He's a very good player to have in.
Struan, there's two forwards at Man United. It's Martial and Igalo. So, yep.
Basically, Igalo is up there for one of the worst. I think he's about 6.5 million.
Yes.
And I don't think he's ever going to start a Premier League game when Martial or Greenwood are fit. So, yeah.
One interesting thing to see this weekend, who's starting in goal for United? We didn't bring up that at all, did we?
When we were talking about goalkeepers, you know, I was thinking I would probably fancy United to hopefully keep a clean sheet against Crystal Palace, but I don't think it's worth taking a United keeper because they're both expensive, and regardless how well they do, it's the risk. I think Henderson might get the league this year, and De Gea will get all the domestic cups in the European.
Is that Carl Anka?
Shout out to Carl Anka. I'm going with his judgment.
I think he's brilliant.
Brilliant. Yep.
Such a good follow.
We'll tag him in this.
Carl Anka, listen to our podcast, please. We love you.
As a fellow United fan, Carl, I agree with your goalkeeper statement. So yeah, I think.
Carl, I put him on the article. Don't listen to a word he says. I brought it up. With that Carl Anka propaganda, that brings an end to this episode of the Fantasy Ramble. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Fantasy Ramble podcast feed wherever you get yours, as well as the Energy Sport podcast feed, where the Football Roundup will review the weekend's action at the start of next week. Head over to Twitter and find us at Fantasy Ramble to see our predictions for this set of fixtures, and get involved in our league with the code DPPRDJ. We want to hit 40 and then we're pushing 50 the rest of the season, so we need your help to get there. Thank you very much to Struan, Cameron and Taylor for joining me on today's show. We're going to be back next week to cover the next set of fixtures in the Premier League. But until then, my name is Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble for Energy Sport. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.